Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the Four Oaks in Fall Branch, Tennessee, KFKeysport.com presents Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid Radio with your host, Gulf Coast Wrestling Reunion and Cauliflower Alley Club honoree, Bo James.
Welcome to Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid Radio. Your host, Bo James, here. I want to start off the program by wishing each and every one of you a very, very Merry Christmas out there and a Happy New Year coming up here just a few days away as it is Christmas week 2015. We're back on the air here after a long, long break, and I'm glad to be joining you, and I'm glad to be talking about the stuff we're going to talk about here coming up. But I just wanted to wish everybody the happiest in New Year's and the merriest Christmas that I possibly can. Everybody's asking what's been going on for the last year. Why has Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid Radio not been around? Well, it's been a very busy year for not only myself, but my wife and our entire families. Had a lot of irons in the fire, as they like to say, over the last year. Promoted a little boxing, did a whole lot of wrestling. Got one book getting ready to go to publish with two more right behind it coming up. So it's been a very, very busy week and very busy year, I should say, for us as we're getting ready. But things have kind of slowed down. We're getting back on track with our program right here. And coming up here just in the first of the year, January the 4th week, we're going to start back being on here each and every week with you. Got a lot of great guests lined up already. My old friend Al Getz, the Duke of New York, is going to be right here, the first live guest when we come back with the weekly programs. We're going to have Matt Farmer, a great historian, great professional wrestler himself from the Pacific Northwest, on here in a couple weeks. Young man by the name of Timmy Lou Retton, who I wrestled a few weeks ago up in West Virginia, who's from North Carolina. Going to have him on here talk about his career because we want to celebrate the past. We want to work hard in the present and prepare for the future for Southern Wrestling. We want to talk about a lot of stuff coming up over the next few weeks right here on this program. If you would, please help us out. Share us on social media. Tell your friends about us. I know there's so many different wrestling-related podcasts and blog talk programs out there, and we don't want to get lost in the shuffle, and it's hard to keep yourself above water in this social media world, this technology world, with so many programs at the fingertip. But, you know, that's why we're going to start off right here with our first couple of programs back with something different, something you can't find anywhere else, something you're only going to find right here on Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid Radio. For the ones of you that know me, you know that I grew up a super fan. I was wrestling's biggest fan here in East Tennessee, always at the matches in Kingsport and Johnson City. I had older cousins that were wrestlers and referees. My family's been involved in this profession for many, many years. My grandparents were super fans. I grew up hearing the stories of Ron Wright, Whitey Caldwell, Don Wright, and everybody else that I cover in my new upcoming book that's getting ready to come out, covering the history of East Tennessee wrestling. But I got my first VCR in 1984, and I started trading tapes and trading programs and writing to pen pals in the magazines and all the stuff you had to do before social media came along. And, you know, I've tried to preserve all the stuff over the years. I have two rooms, a video library, and now as stuff has moved along, technology has come along. The last 10 years, I've been working on trying to get everything onto DVD. We're trying to save everything that we can. And it's amazing how when I go out places that people give me stuff now, DVDs and programs and posters, and they all tell me, we want you to have this because we know you'll take care of it and you'll share it and you'll tell the history of it. And that's exactly what I try to do, share the history, because there's such a rich, rich history in professional wrestling. It didn't get started with the cable boom in the 80s, and it didn't even get started with the network TV in the 50s and 60s, and it sure didn't get started with the Attitude Era and the Monday Night Wars. It's been around for here in the city of Kingsport. The newspapers go back to 1916, and professional wrestling was here in 1916. We have such a history of it. And growing up a super fan, you know, and if you're listening, you can relate to this. Not everybody's a wrestling fan, and all the people that are not wrestling fans, they wanted to poke fun, they wanted to make fun, they always had comments, they always used that F word, talking about fake, and they talked about all this stuff, and it was funny growing up that the ones that made fun in school of me for being a wrestling fan, I would see them with their mom and dad at the wrestling matches on Sunday in Kingsport or Tuesday in Johnson City. People have tried to knock wrestling down, the media has tried to kill it, the naysayers have talked about it, the more you talk about it, The only thing you're doing is you're putting it over and drawing more attention to it. No matter what the time period, wrestling fans really didn't care if it was entertainment. They didn't care if it was predetermined. They were wrestling fans. They were going to come no matter what. Lance Russell had the great line of, you know, for those that believe, no explanation is necessary. For those that don't believe, no explanation will do. Wrestling is wrestling. You can drag it through the mud. You can talk about it. You can try to kill it off. In 1985, I remember coming to school one Monday morning, and everybody in the building wanted to talk to me because 2020 and John Stossel had did this expose on professional wrestling, and everybody said, it's going to kill wrestling, it's going to be done, look how stupid you are for following this stuff and this and that, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, you know, and when I got in the sport of professional wrestling, I got into the profession and talking to old-timers and everything and found out that, you know, that was not the first expose. A lot of people think it was. People had wrote stories in the papers, and they did all this stuff, and I even have one from the 60s that ran right here in Kingsport paper you can read about in the book coming out. But from the very beginning, people have had naysayers. People within the profession had got bitter on something, or they got mad about something, or their feelings had got hurt, or whatever the case may be. And they left, and the first thing they did is they went to the media. And they thought, going to the media, we're going to expose it, we're going to kill it, we're going to do away with it, we're going to whatever. Well, I've got some video, or not video, but audio here, that years ago, I'd heard about this, and then a few years ago, I was given a tape where someone had got a copy of a copy of a copy of somebody that actually taped it off the radio in Memphis when it happened. And I'm talking about when Mario Galento went on a local sports show in Memphis and tried to expose the business, thinking it was going to hurt the business, thinking it was going to do away with the Monday night sellouts there in Memphis, which he was sadly mistaken, because they had a tremendous run of about another 12 or 13 years there in Memphis and the whole territory across there. So what we're going to do on this program and the next program, and I'm going to upload both of them on the same day, so if you're listening to part one right now, when you finish it, you can go right to part two. We're going to go back in the Wayback Machine, through all the historians that helped me get this done and found this tape, and my friend Bobby Simmons put it on CD for me so I could get it here on this program for you. We're going to go back and listen to the Memphis call-in program with Mario Galento, just like it aired 42 years ago almost, 1974. So go back and listen to Mario Galento, who pleads his case on why he was blackballed from professional wrestling and what he thinks is going on in Memphis, in the Memphis territory, and then I'm going to come back and talk to you in a few minutes.
I agree with it. Some of you out there disagree with it, but we're going to talk about it this morning with a man that has wrestled in Memphis that is going to be somewhat controversial, that is going to have some things to say about wrestling that some of you avid wrestlers, wrestling fans may not like to hear. But we're going to get into it. His name is Mario Boyette. He's known in wrestling as Mario Galento. He's 59 years old. Mario is sitting here in the booth with me. And did you wrestle in the programs ever in Memphis, Mario?
Yes, I've wrestled quite a few matches here in the past. George and incident, I'll be 59 in June. Okay.
Now you've been calling me for over a period of months and
yes,
wanting to come on the program and wanting us to talk about wrestling, and I guess you've been calling me because you've heard some of the things that I have said about wrestling.
Yes, I have. I heard you discuss things about wrestling. I want to discuss it back with you, and why that I figured that you discussed it like you did.
Well, now I have contended that I think wrestling is mostly show. People ask why we don't devote more space to it in the paper, why I don't devote more time to it here on the radio program, and I say that this is a sports show. It's not a show of anything else, and which is why we don't do a lot of talking about roller derby and wrestling. I want to talk sports on this program, and I don't personally believe that wrestling as we see it today now is sport. I think the NCAA wrestling that we've seen on television at the colleges is sport, and people come out to see it, and it's a great event. But I don't believe the Monday night programs as we see it is really a sport.
You mean you don't think it's really on the level? I mean, actually, you see, there's no such a thing as being fake or phony as long as you're doing what you're told by your boss man, such as a promoter, wrestling promoter.
What do you mean doing it what you're told?
Well, if you go into the ring with some of the guys that we know naturally can't afford to get beat because they never go anywhere else, like Texas, Oklahoma, and places where they really wrestle, And if you you have to actually, what we call doing a job for those guys is to put them over at a certain time and a certain length of time. And, of course, I had a wrestling school here and was advised to close the school.
Now, wait a minute. Are you telling me that wrestling on Monday nights here is phony?
Not, once I said, as long as you do what you are told by the promoter, you're not doing a phony job yourself. You're doing what you're told.
But,
so you
do,
it's not a contest.
But, for example, yes. Do what as... What does a promoter tell you to do?
He tells you when to finish and who to finish and who to put over. If you don't, then you're fired immediately.
What do you mean, who to put over and who to finish? Who to
win? Well, you know, the winners and everything. Of course, everybody. Did you ever see something, let me ask you a question now. Did you ever see something you just really loved to look at and really happened and were happy about it but didn't believe it after it happened? Now, then, that answers your question.
Well, you're telling me that the matches are predetermined before they...
I'm saying that all of the matches in this particular territory here is a syndicate-operated thing, and you do what you're told. And some of the wrestlers, if I was allowed to mention their names, I'll tell you who couldn't wrestle, and I have offered to back it up with $1,000 because I have a wrestling school here.
Why? But are you
I want to tell you why, George, if you don't mind.
First of all, as I understand it, you're blacklisted. Is that right? You can't wrestle?
I am barred from all 37 states because I answered a challenge in Jackson, Tennessee on television. My wife and I drove up, come in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And I went down and said $500 to the winner of a contest on TV. Well, I went down there, they had the police, the high sheriff, they had everybody out there, and the sheriff was very nice to me. And he told me, he said, Mario, he said, why are you down here causing all the disturbance? I said, I'm not, I'm answering a challenge. He said, you know, this is figured out 2 or 3 weeks ahead. I said, well, this one wasn't. That's what all the trouble's about.
What was figured out 2 or 3 weeks ahead?
Talking about the finishes of who was going to beat who, you know, and everything like that. And if you'll notice, I think you have, some of the guys, so-called wrestlers, after they wrestle about 2 minutes and you get him on the TV for an interview, he's so blowed up, you know what I mean? He can't hear him talk. I heard one here a while back, he'd wrestle 2 minutes, and he got out there and he says, boy, I'll tell you one thing. If they'd have turned me loose out there, I'd have done this and I'd done that. I felt sorry for him. If they'd turned him loose, he'd have fell dead. You see, you got to stay in good condition. I could mention some boys here in Memphis that are wrestlers and are in good condition, and they can answer the same thing. Now, in my school, George...
Wait a minute. Let's get away from the commercial about the school.
I'm not doing that. You see, I'm not running the school anymore. I want to tell you what.
All right, but I want to ask you something else. I brought up the point that you were blacklisted. Are you saying that wrestling is show because you're blacklisted and Mario Galinto have a vendetta going?
I say that the wrestling, when you go in there to contest a man, and if you do beat a man that you're not supposed to beat, that you're finished. All they have to do, the promoters, pick up the phone and call their commissioners, and they call them all long distance all over the country, which my name, Buddy, is all over everywhere. You can look at me. I'm a main liner on the... And my wife, they also blacklisted my wife because she was married to me. And my wife is a wrestler, which is... of course, you see later on there's going to be...
So you cannot wrestle in 37 states.
That's right.
But you can wrestle in 13.
I can wrestle in the others.
Do you do it?
Florida. No, I don't want to wrestle in the states. It's just the idea of taking my rights and my privilege away from me because I like to see...
Why haven't you gone to court?
I am. That's what I was going to tell you. It's in court. I was in Nashville a while back up at the State House, and of course I had my attorney with me there. And I had the court a recorder. Everything's recorded, and I am going into court. They said mine was a federal case, and hers was a civil case, because you can't take her rights away if she wants to wrestle. You see, I don't want to wrestle. A year ago last month, I had a heart attack just after I took a severe beating on a television show, a certain station here, from a bunch of the boys that had suckered me in there, supposedly to do a program. And after I got into the ring, I was told by the promoters here to go on in, because a certain guy was leaving, we're going to need a program to get the people back. After I got in there, all of them, there were seven of them all total, took me down and tried to kill me and put me in the hospital. They put 22 stitches in my head. I didn't even know what was going on until I was already hurt real bad.
All right, we've had someone waiting on the line. 725-1430 is the number to call. Let me pick up this call. We Radio Sports Line, you're on the air.
Yes, I would like to ask the gentleman something, please, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
In other words... what you're trying to tell us is that this is a showmanship.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, I believe you because one time I was watching TV, and I'm not a wrestling fan, and I was watching TV, and the man looked like he was being killed, and they was hitting him with a chair and everything. And I ran to the phone and called the Memphis police and asked them to go, please, to the TV station and stop before
yes,
the man was murdered.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was laughed at. Then I called the TV station, and I told them, for God's sake, stop the murder on TV.
Uh-huh.
And I was laughed at. And the woman on the switchboard at the TV station right here in town.
Yes, ma'am.
This was her remarks. Lady, don't you know that is not anybody being hurt?
Well, if you think you're laughed at now, you should be at matches sometimes, see them laugh at you if they get in the dressing room.
Well, I know that, because then I went to work for a doctor who was a wrestling match doctor at that time.
Yes, ma'am.
And the they would come up there to the office, you know. But it just didn't make sense. I really thought the men had gotten mad, and I thought, God, please get some the police over there before somebody gets hurt. And so that's what convinced me, and this was just recently
yes,
on TV. That's what convinced me that there was not a real fight, because if I were to call the police and tell them that there was a knockdown, drag-out fight on something else, they would immediately run over there and put a stop to it.
Well, that's right. Well, I was at the matches a few weeks ago. I'm not going to say who was wrestling. And most policemen they've had down there is when my wife and I went to the matches, and it was two guys that I wanted to get a hold of real bad.
Well, you can say who was wrestling. You can say who.
Jerry Lawler and Jerry Jarrett were wrestling each other. And, of course, you know, I was the one that put up the $1,000. I could beat them both in 30 minutes or less time, and I added a few more to it. And now, you see, that wasn't scheduled. That wasn't on the books. And so they had 22 extra policemen there. They were covered all over the building. Because when you're down there for business, instead of a showmanship, they have to have a police.
Well,
and I was told by one of the policemen while we're at it, which they already know up in town anyway, that if I went into the ring or even started in the ring, they're supposed to shoot me in the back. And I said, you mean to tell me that you'd shoot a man in the unarmed man in the back? He said, I have orders from one of the promoters for you not to get to the ring if you start. And I asked him, I said, why? He said, well, your hands are legal weapons. I said, good, you don't have to shoot neither one of them then, because neither one of their hands are not legal weapons.
Well, now, I'm just an average housewife watching on TV with a man picking up a chair, and he runs in to hit this guy. And as I say, as far as I'm concerned, here is a battle going on TV that is, you know, that I thought, oh, boy, they've gotten out of hand. Please get the police there before somebody in the audience gets
there. They're
hurt.
There, the police are there laughing with everybody else.
Well, do you not tell me? I got laughed at there, and then I went to the phone, called the station, and I said, please do something quick. Well, to me, then, I'll never watch wrestling again, because if it's no more sport than that.
Well, ladies, it's not a contest, it's not a sport. It's a showman thing down there right now, and of course, we have.
I don't like showman things. I like sports.
I like the real thing.
I don't mean I want to watch anybody being beat up or anything like that, but I feel like it's just like the astronauts. If they go up to the moon and they get left up there, that's what their business. They chose that.
Well, I think it should be a contest.
If he gets hurt, that's his business. He chose that profession.
Well, you can't blame the wrestlers, though, ma'am. That comes from the promoters and everything. It's a syndicate-operated thing. If you don't do what you're told, you're fired. And of course, at my house, my wife and my kids can tell you this. Right after this thing incident, you might have seen them beating me up on television.
No, I didn't. That was my first. I turned TV on, and I thought we had completely had a start having a riot. And if I would see a riot on the corner, I'd call the police.
Well, what happened here?
All right, now let me interrupt. We're running long. We're going to have to cut this off, okay?
Okay, but I just want to tell you that experience.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
For how many years did you wrestle?
I've been wrestling I started wrestling my first match is about 40 years ago, just breaking into the business. And of course, the first 3 months I was in the business, I got my teeth kicked out, and they're still out, some of them, if you want to see what I mean. I had cauliflower ears, and I got about 300 stitches in my head. Now, I delivered some of them too, but in the meantime, I was getting in shape, in condition, to take on those people. But now, at that time, wrestling was different from it is now. I don't say there wasn't showmanship. There's always been. But it was rougher and tougher. And you had to be in condition to get into business. You had to know some wrestling. You see, all you got to do now is bleach your hair and get you a pair of tights and grow your hair out and jump up on that microphone and bark about five times like you're preaching on a country stump. And they say, hey, we better use this boy. And what makes me hot is to walk into the dressing room and one of the guys, some of the kinfolks, and this is a kinfolks deal, from here all the way to Mobile, Alabama, and you've got to wrestle them, they've got to win or you can't go. And they tell you, hey, you know, Johnny, we'll just call the name. They come by and say, let's get old Johnny over tonight because he's back next week. Naturally, because he's not going anywhere else. He's here. He owns it. He is part of it. And they said, let's get him over about 2 minutes. He's sick. Here I am. I'm, you know, I'm in workout. I'm in good shape, and I want to go get a good workout. But he don't feel good.
Why can't professional wrestlers? What is a guy, let's say, who wrestles in college? And surely, if you've been involved in wrestling, you've seen at least on television the NCAA wrestling championships. And there's no showmanship whatsoever. They get out there and they wrestle, and yet in some parts of the country, in Iowa and Oklahoma and Nebraska, they fill basketball arenas with 15,000 people to see a wrestling match. So it's obviously something to it. I understand at Auburn, Alabama, same thing. They've got a good wrestling program down there now. Why can't professional wrestling be like, say, professional football is to college football, just an extenuation of the game?
Excuse me, George, you know, there's a wrestling coach, Billy Wicks, who has the amateur wrestling school in Germantown. Now, he's got a bunch of boys out there that he hasn't had too long, just like I've got a few names up down here. I'll read you if you'd like. It can beat all these guys I was just talking about real easy. And without any, because they have the wrestling ability.
But where do they go to make a living?
These boys that we're speaking of wrestling, they have jobs. They like to wrestle, like in Oklahoma and Texas, and people like Danny Hodge, who is a wrestler, and Billy Wicks, who is a wrestler, you know, he has a job. And he's supposed to have done the same thing I did on TV one time. He was asked by the promoters to go in and do this same thing, to jump in and...
Is Billy Wicks blacklisted now?
Not only he's not blacklisted, but he'd be just as well off because the places they send him is in little bitty towns, and they don't never let him, they don't let guys like that have a belt on them. If you'll notice, the one that wears the belt are helpless as a baby because they do what they're told. You get the belt on a good, tough man, he might not want to give it up. That'd mess up a six-week program they're trying to do here.
All right, let's get back to phone calls on line one. We Radio, you're on the air.
I'm Athlete Mario on that clip.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Okay, Mr. Glento, I just wanted to ask a question. Jackie Fargo was heard about 8 weeks ago on Studio Wrestling by a wrestler here in Memphis.
Uh-huh.
And for those last 8 weeks, he's supposedly been in the hospital. And I, for one, know that he's been wrestling in Nashville for 8 solid weeks as the headliner.
Yes, sir.
I'm just wondering, do the people really think that we're that gullible that we would just believe?
Well, I'd like to answer that question. The place is full every week, and I say there's good business and show business. And, of course, now you know that you know where he was. I don't have to answer that question.
Right.
If he wasn't there, he was with his, you want to call it, in Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And probably with wherever the Garvin boys is. They're not here right now. Now, one of the Garvin boys are really tough. I like to say one thing straight to everybody else out on that. The Garvins are not brothers. They're just one. Say that on there either.
Right.
And there's a list of them right here in this part of the country. Shake your teeth out if you know who they was. That follows them wherever they go. You know, they're not only funny boys in the ring, they're funny out of the ring.
Right. Well, let me ask you, in different sections like Birmingham, Atlanta, Nashville, and Memphis, those are the big southern towns.
Yeah.
A different person will go from town to town. He's a good guy in one town, a bad guy in another.
That's right. And they have world champions in every state.
Right.
Because they've got there's a lot of world champions right now.
Yeah. All right, we got to get to another call.
Okay.
We Radio Sportsline, you're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Glanto?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, let me ask you, are you the one that has the earring in your ear?
He is.
Yes.
We watched wrestling when we were children.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you trying to tell us that your matches were predetermined, too?
They were rougher, predetermined, all of them, because, as I say, anytime you're told by your boss what to do, if you have a job and your boss tells you, when you answer the phone, say, I'm not in, if he's there, what are you going to tell him?
Well, wait a minute. Now, let's get at this. When you were wrestling, Mario, here, you fought in matches then, or wrestling matches, where you knew before you got in the ring who was going to win.
Oh, definitely, yes.
That's what I was wanting to get that straight.
Yes, ma'am. Some of them are rougher than others, you admit that. And they've quit doing what you call hard ways. That's hitting you side of the head between the eyes. And there has been several matches where you go in and wrestle your first fall, determine who is the best.
Well,
and who is the toughest, and then you actually work your other two, or either get fired. You see, I have a family to raise, and I have to take orders from my boss,
well,
who is the promoters, and then the commissioners backs them up, as I told you all.
Well, they're not your boss anymore.
No, that's right. No, but they're not my boss anymore because they called up the commissioners to have me fired. They said, hey, this boy won't listen. Let's get him out of here.
But did you ever get mad when you were wrestling?
Yes, ma'am. I've been mad a few times, but if you're in good condition and you know what you can do, you know your ability, you can play with a lot of these kids who is being played with here now and not get hurt.
And don't have to get mad, because you know if you want to, you can beat him any time you get ready.
Well, that's what I mean. Did you ever get mad and just whoop one?
No, I did. That's why I'm out this time. I went down to Batesville, Mississippi last summer and whipped two. To tell you the truth, I wasn't even booked down there. And I had to put up a $600 bond to get out. And as a matter of fact, it was three of them. It was the manager and two of the wrestlers.
Well, were you the only one that's ever been banned from wrestling?
No, ma'am. I travel the United States over. Most of the people are 95% of all the people that are banned from wrestling in the commission is down in the state of Tennessee or in Mobile, Alabama. You hardly ever see anybody from Texas, Oklahoma, or up in Nebraska, or any of those.
You tell me it's completely, totally on the up and up in the other states?
No, I didn't say that.
Okay.
I say, though, that if you do get hot and wrestle somebody and beat them, they don't kick you out. They may give you a little jacket up and tell you kind of,
play the rules.
Well, that's what I mean. You don't actually play the rules, but anyhow, if you beat the man you're not supposed to, you foul up a good long program.
Are the matches rehearsed before they're on?
No, ma'am, you don't have to rehearse the match. You can, if you know who's going to beat you and with what.
No.
Then, seriously, now, let me finish.
What do you mean with what?
Well, with what hope they're going to use. Because there's some holes used here in Memphis, it's impossible.
Yeah.
And to beat anybody with. And,
Such as
the sides straddle by throwing a man in the, you throw a man in the turnbuckle, you can't throw him in. You can't drop kick a man, you can't body slam him if you don't want to. All you got to do is sit down in his hand. And they're throwing him into the rope, and then you're coming off and jumping the straddle of him and holding him down. That's not a wrestling hold. Of course, our champion, used it, and he's a great wrestler, which, incidentally, I don't understand what he's doing here unless he has an interest in this. He must have an interest in it. I'm talking about Luther.
Now, whenever they give those drop kicks, you tell me that man doesn't know that he's going to get a drop kick at that.
There wouldn't be no way to drop kick him if the man wanted to get out of the way. You'd have to stand there. Even yourself, he couldn't even hit you.
What
do you do? Just step aside.
You mean a drop kick is really not a wrestling...
No, a drop kick's not wrestling at all.
What about whenever they pull them off the top rope and they tumble them over? Don't they get set for that?
Well, you have to. You have to get set for most anything. It's just like in the making a movie. Which I still am making a movie. I'm going to tell you that a little later on.
Whenever they're wrestling, do they whisper, say, now let's get them
no,
off the
you
ropes
don't.
And I'll pull
well,
them?
Well, if you don't get them up out of the seats like you should, well, then you're jacked up pretty heavy and you get back. So they just say, hey, look at that old fat woman. You see that over in the right-hand corner raising all that cane, buddy? Let's get with her because she's bringing as many people here as we are.
All right, we got to cut it off. We got to take a commercial break.
There you heard it. Part one, Mario Galento on Memphis Radio. And part two is going to be uploaded right after this program you're listening to here. So as soon as you finish up with this one, click right over there to the next episode. And you can hear the second part of Mario Galento on Memphis Radio. Before we get out of here, I got to thank my wife, who is my announcer, my co-producer, and the lady that keeps me on time here. Got to thank our sponsor, Lance Dykes Life Insurance, independent agent in Tennessee and Virginia. It's never too early to protect your family. Give Lance a call, 423-817-8248 inside Tennessee and Virginia, and he will point you in the right way. He will take care of you and take care of your family with all your final expense, whole life, and term insurance. Now, also, 2016 is going to be the silver anniversary of Southern States Wrestling. You're going to be hearing a lot about that coming up, but keep up with kingofkingsport.com. Check out my books over there. Check out my DVDs, and I'm going to start putting up classic matches, classic pictures of Southern States Wrestling, which you also can follow on Facebook and Twitter, facebook.com/Southern States Wrestling, on Twitter, SSW Wrestling 1. Also, follow me on Twitter at King of Kingsport, kingofkingsport.com, youtube.com/King of Kingsport, and on Facebook, Pro Wrestler Bo James. Also, go to Facebook, check out Pro Wrestler Misty James on Facebook, and Country Strong Misty James .blogspot.com. We got to get her own .com, shorten that down. Until episode number 2 with Mario Galento, which is coming right up, this is Bo James. Thanks for listening to Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid Radio.
Thanks for listening, everyone, and make sure you tune in next week of a brand new episode of Do You Want to Be a Wrestler Kid Radio. Also, make sure you check out KMPSport.com for books, DVDs, pictures, and more.